host here. Lori T and I are going to talk about episode 60, The Masks of Friendship Changes. Just a friendly reminder that anything discussed in this podcast is not to be used as a diagnosis or a replacement for conversations with your own doctors, therapists, psychologists, or other medical professionals. In a previous episode, episode 43, we did talk about social relationships. So we did touch on friendships and some of those changes then, but we're going to dive in a little bit differently because, you know, as our podcast grows and as things change in our life, we get ideas and thoughts. And we thought it was time to tackle this directly. And I know Lori and I are going to have some changes here in our life as our household and what that's going to look like. And just in general of friends and moving and, you know, you move away, you sometimes consider things and it's like some of your friendships linger regardless of where you are, whereas other friendships maybe dwindle because you're not physically near them anymore. So that can, you know, impact relationships a lot. But yeah, so we're going to tackle that a little bit today and see where we go. Anybody have any thoughts to start with?
Ladies, I just want to say it's good to be back home. I think I mentioned this on one of the previous podcasts, but I've been gone for 6 weeks. And transitioning back into life has been a little bumpy. We were just commenting before we started recording that EJ and I were sharing with T that it feels like we've lived an entire season of life within the 1 week right. that I got back. We've got a sick neighbor. We've got things going on with grandkids. We had the norovirus run through my youngest son's family. Car issues. You name it, we've dealt with it in the last right. 10 days.
It's on top of our crazy. General living. Yeah, just, you know, running to the grocery store to pick up groceries or recording a podcast or making plans for a podcast or watching a show that you have to watch, you know, for the podcast that you're recording. That would be me, not Lori. But yeah, it's just been chaotic. And I was joking. I was like, I want to go find a hobbit hole somewhere in the middle of nowhere and just curl up and just spend like a week just not socialized. Because it's. You know, we've talked about it. We had a whole series about introvert versus extrovert and the personalities. And, you know, you guys know I'm an introvert, but I also enjoy helping people. I enjoy helping people give rides and I don't mind driving. I love driving. So it's not that it's there's been a lot on top of each other. More so than normal.
Yeah. You need a vacation from your vacation.
Yeah. Yes. I didn't even have a vacation. Yes. We got two little ones bookended, right? With my trip, I guess, was kind of where some of the ideas came from for this episode. I went down to Texas and I spent time with some friends, very, very wonderful girlfriends and friends in the church. I did a three-city tour, if you will, of the beautiful state of Texas. And it was good. It really was overall good. I love the warm weather. I'm not going to lie. And I know I've said this to a few people when I got home. I almost didn't come home. I was not ready to come back to rain, snow. Cold. I really enjoy that warm weather and the warm hospitality of the Texas people. But I have six beautiful grandbabies here. I have a very rich and full life here. But what does it look like when ideas and thoughts change? I've been working on transforming my life inside and out. I've been trying to identify where God wants me to go next, what he wants for me specifically to do. Previously in my life, this would have scared me. It actually excites me right now. It makes me happy. I feel like the world is my oyster, and I just have to figure out where and when I'm making my next moves. And that's been a long time in my life since I felt like that. Probably when I was 18 and getting married for the first time and getting ready to move across the globe to England. And, you know, yes, at 18 and young, married, Air Force wife, I felt like the world was my oyster. And it was. But now that I'm an empty nester, well, sort of. I have a roommate who's fantastic. But I do, for the first time in my life, as an adult and a mother, a wife, you know, all of these things, I have a lot of choices to make in the future. So that's kind of what we're looking at. What happens when the relationships change? Somebody needs to make a move. How do we deal with that healthily?
Right.
And not just healthily, but with grace and love and a desire to continue that relationship. But what's it going to look like now?
Right.
So if I pick up, you know, this ball is something I'm contemplating, moving to another state. What does that do with Miss EJ's life? What does that do with the podcast? What does that do with my grandlos? What does that do? I have a new relationship in my life. I guess the term is boyfriend. There you go. I haven't said that word in a long time. What does it do for that relationship? I'm not really sure, but let's talk about it.
Yeah, and you know, for you, you know, I've known you almost 9 years now, and I, since then, your health has drastically changed, it for the better. You know, normally, you know, somebody for a long time, their health deteriorates. So for you, it's improved, which is awesome. And because of that, you've needing less care. You know, yes, you're going to have a surgery upcoming here soon, which is part of the reason why, we, you know, would definitely kind of piecing together like podcasts. So, you know, sometimes we'll record podcasts like multiple in a day. So we have them to go kind of last for like 3-4 weeks because we know we've got stuff coming up. And I feel like this is your first real opportunity since your body has actually given you positive response to travel, that you could actually do it. Because, you know, as you guys know on the podcast, Lori is she's gone through a lot, even in this last 5 years. So this is like her first chance to really think about what could it look like to maybe move somewhere else? Would it be possible? You know, unfortunately, she still lives on disability, so her income is limited, which, you know, gives her decisions that, you know, so she has to balance that out. But it's also it's for her, it's cool to think about the what ifs and the possibilities. For me, it's, you know, I moved over to the east side of Washington, not expecting to be here long. And, you know, I didn't know what that time frame was. And, you know, we were talking even last night, and I was like, okay, I needed like a timeline, like I need a date. So we kind of, you know, discussed what that was going to look like. And, you know, Lori had mentioned the sick neighbor, and there's a possibility that because of the care she may need, her doctors are concerned with that she lives alone. So there's a possibility that I may just move across the complex to her condo for a few months, 6 months or something, to just be a live-in, you know, person, not necessarily her caregiver, but just, you know, do that. And then maybe, you know, do something else. But I'm having to navigate the what I want to do. I know I've shared a little, I think I might have shared this a little bit when we were talking about personalities and education. I couldn't wait to get out of high school. I couldn't wait to be done. And I really could care less about college and upper education. But unfortunately, that's the way the world works. And if you don't have a bachelor's degree on your name, at least you're pretty much limited. And that's kind of where I'm at. I was blessed with being a caregiver for as long as I have been, but unfortunately, that is not something I want to do long term. You know, as you know, Lori and I, we've started a publishing company, you know, a self-publishing company. We're helping people self-publish their books. We enjoy writing. I'm a writer. I'm an author. I like tech. So caregiving was never in the cards for me in the first place, but I was blessed with that opportunity and I took it. And it's been great for the last like 8 or 9 years I've been doing that, but it's time for me to move on to something different. And so kind of navigating what that looks like. And I haven't traveled a lot. Growing up, my family, my dad's from Minnesota and my mom was born and raised where I grew up in Washington. So I didn't travel a lot. We traveled across, you know, the northern states to Minnesota every couple of years. And we go to the ocean here in Washington and sometimes in Oregon. And that was about the extent of my travels. When Lori and I took our big road trip in, 2023, that was the farthest I'd ever been away from home. Texas, Nevada, or no, we didn't go through Nevada, Texas, Utah, New Mexico, little Arizona, Montana, Idaho. Like I hadn't been that far away from home. So it was a big experience and I want to do more of that. So I've definitely been looking for remote work that, you know, could potentially give me an opportunity to do some traveling and maybe spend 6 months just going around. Or does that mean, or does it look like I go back to school and get a bachelor's degree because I don't have one. And I have quite a bit of credits from my previous college, which will definitely help me with my bachelor's. I'm happily in this spot. I mean, sure, making decisions and, moving sucks, period. So it's not something I really want to do, but I know I need to do it. And, my long-term goal is to have my own place and live on my own and kind of have my space and let, welcome people over when they want to come over, but not always have, people around. And I know like Lori and I'll oftentimes we'll both end up in the living room at the same time. She's watching something, I'm doing something on my laptop, or we're talking about something, or then we end up playing a game. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I love doing that. And I love that we have that relationship. But I'm finding myself like I rearranged my room a little bit so I could have more access to working in my room. Because as we start having more clients, we need to have Zoom chats and we can't be on the same, like in the same room on the Zoom call because it's not going to work. So I wanted to make sure that I had space. Now things are changing and I might be moving out, but you know what? It's going to work for now and we'll figure it out. But I kind of like the challenge. And we'll see where it moves. We'll see what comes of it. But I'm happy for Lori. I want to see her happy and to succeed, however that looks for her. And I know it's going to be weird not having her like right there if she does decide to move, a couple of states away or not. But I know that's going to come with her seeking advice and her, talking with her family and other friends and just what they feel is best for, what they think, and kind of let Lori decide what's best for her and what God is calling her to do. And I've always said, Washington is my home. I will always live in Washington. And it's funny because this morning I got an alert for a small property in Idaho. And I'm like, no, but like, it's tempting. It's tough, but it's necessary. because I think in the Bible it even talks about like you can't stay stagnant for too long. Like you can't keep doing the same thing over and over again for the rest of your life. You've got to have changes. You've got to do things. And I know for me, not moving around a lot, like I grew up in the same house that for like 30 years of my life, I was basically in the same house. So moving, I hated moving, but I've moved more in the last like 8 years than I have my entire childhood. So there has to be change. And with change comes letting go of things. You know, Lori knows I had a 200 square foot storage unit full of my house from, you know, my childhood that I had to downsize because my parents were no longer, my mom was gone and my dad was in a facility. And then, you know, over the years, I've slowly been whittling that down and I'm still got a lot left to get rid of, but every year it seems like I'm willing to get rid of more and more. Changes are coming, but the friendship is still there. And I think that's why we wanted to talk about that, because just because I'm no longer her roommate doesn't mean I'm mad at her or it's going to cause a rift in our friendship. We're still going to be friends. We're still going to be business partners. We're still going to be sisters in Christ because we still attend the same church for now. And even if she does move across the country, that we're still going to be churches down there. We're still going to be connected. So, you know, that's not changing, even though our home life might be changing, and that's okay. And I talk way more than I normally do. So please somebody else start talking.
T, what kind of changes are going on with you?
Well, currently in friendships, nothing really, but you know, I did move around a lot as a kid. We moved a lot. And so I was constantly adjusting to new faces and new people and being an introvert. And also at some point during that getting social anxiety, that often impacted things, but I learned a lot from it. And so I'm not as impacted by changes in relationships and friends. Most of my friends know that I may disappear for a while. You may not hear from me for a while, but one of the things that does happen is when we do reconnect, it's as if no time has passed, and we get a lot of value in sharing what's changed in our lives and catching up and whatnot. So for me, I'm not as affected by it, but I have to be careful because I know that others are. And so that just because I'm okay with not talking to anybody for a while doesn't mean that the people that I value don't miss out on that. But again, my close friendships, the people who know me know that, okay, well, if I'm missing her, I just need to call her or FaceTime her. I wonder who does that. Anyway, I gotta say, Facebook, you need to change your ringtone because it is annoying. But anyway, I cannot stand the sound of that thing. If I ever answer that and I sound aggravated, it's not who's calling, it's how it sounds. Anyway,
it's a very weird thing.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it is so obnoxious. And it's always been that way. It's like it's time for a change, Facebook. Anyway.
Oh, wait, aren't they called Meta now or something? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. See, they're changing too.
Yeah, but not that stupid obnoxious sound.
Right.
I am so mortified when I'm in the grocery store and that goes off. I'm like, that's not me. Silence, silence. Anyway, but you know, changes in relationships, I may not notice as much. And so I've had to work on being careful and noticing that others might and how it impacts them. And especially people who matter to me. And what I love about what you were talking about, EJ, is that, yes, this is going to be hard, but you so beautifully observed that this isn't a negative thing, that it's on the back of Lori health improving and these great opportunities for her. So when you have a relationship like that, when you're cheering each other on, even if it means you have to go through a change in the relationship, that is those friendships, those relationships are the one that last because you're valuing how healthy this is for her.
Right.
And then even better yet, sign of maturity, you're realizing this could be a value to you too.
Which I have to say, EJ, is a... I know I often sound like the big sister in your life because we joke well, that I am your big sister.
Yeah,
you're like that little sister that I adore, you know. And but I am very proud of how you have been handling the thoughts and the information that I've been giving you. You have handled it so well. And like T said, I have to remind myself that others don't view change the way I do. I look at it as the next opportunity. I don't know why. I guess God just made me different that way. I think it was T or EJ, one of you said moving sucks. I love moving. I'm weird. I love the process of packing up the stuff, putting it all in these things. And then I love opening up the boxes, putting them up in the new place. Like, I love moving. I'm so crazy.
My ideal move is where I don't have to pack up anything or clean the place I'm leaving, but I get to be right at the new place, putting it together. That's my favorite part.
Yes. And I do miss that from military days.
Yeah.
Where they packed it all up, you know, pretty much. But, and then you get to the next place and you just unload it all and start fresh and new.
Well, and I think that might be where I'm at. And I appreciate you saying that because I feel like my first move out of my parents' home was tough, and it was kind of rushed, but not because I had a few months, but it was like, you know, all dad's money had started going to his facility. There was no, you know, so there was a few months where there was no payments being made. So things were just starting to get shut off. And you and I were, to backtrack a little bit before I go on, I also want to say Lori and I have lived together before. And we had to split households before. So our relationship continued past that. So if it did it once, it can do it again.
Amen.
Which I think that is making it easier the second time around. Because it really, you know, it gets sucked the first time. Because we were like, we'd had a living situation that didn't work out with another roommate who then moved out. And then... just because they were in a financial situation, they couldn't pay the bills themselves and things like that. So then we kind of just floundered, I suppose you could say, for a little while. Then we found a place where we were able to each rent a room from somebody, and that worked for a short time. And then that floundered again. And then we had to kind of reevaluate. And then we're like, we may have to split up households, and we did it. I was blessed to rent a room from somebody from our church in an area not far from where I had been living. Lori found a couple in our church also that had a place that she could rent for a short time before she ended up moving back across the state. So I'm like, well, that will, you know, happen again. You know, regardless of where she is, we're still going to be friends. And I have friends all over the states that, you know, some of them I've never met in person, and they're like my best friends. Others I've met in person in 2001 after meeting them, you know, knowing them for like 3 years online. And like, I haven't seen them physically since, but we're like, we start talking after 6 months of not talking. We're like best friends still. Distance for me is not a problem. But what I was going to say earlier was that I had a lot of like emotional trauma and emotional like sentimentality to the house that I had to downsize. So it was like, I wanted to keep everything I could, but I left behind a lot of stuff. Like I was realizing I left all my yearbooks behind, not realizing it. So I don't even have my senior yearbook anymore. It was on a shelf in the basement of our house. I had moved some of my books and some of my stuff from my room down there, you know, when I was like 15, you know, and it kind of, that had been the collection area for a lot of that stuff. And I think I left them behind. I have my 7th grade book, 'cause that had been pulled out because somebody else had mentioned to me that they had gone to my school, and they, you know, I, I didn't know it at the time. And so we were looking at it. So that was in somewhere else, but I don't have my high school yearbook or my senior year. And that's, it's really a bummer because that was something I'd really like to have. So I don't. And so I'm like, well, maybe I can, you know, reach out to my high school and say, hey, do you guys still have a, like a digital version of that, that I could maybe get a hold of? So that's something I'm thinking about doing. And, but now, like the last few years, I've been downsizing a lot. I have, you know, stuff in my room. I've been even going through lately and just getting rid of stuff. I took like 2 bins of recycling out of my room. I'm trying to go digital and like not have note papers, but they somehow end up in my room. And I had a lot. But even like knickknacks and stuff, like stuff that I used to be sentimental with. I'm like, I realize my parents are not in that stuff anymore. I don't need to keep it. They enjoyed it. I don't, my mom loved cats. I enjoy having cats. But I'm not going to throw my house and make it all cat. So I'm like, sorry, mom, I'm not keeping all these cat knickknacks. But yeah, so I feel like this is a good change and it'll give me a chance to go through my stuff again and get rid of more stuff and maybe sell some of it if it's, you know, trying to sell. But if not, you know, there's a recycling bin and a garbage bin and Goodwill.
And Goodwill or Salvation Army or whatever group that you donate your stuff to. Yeah, I know. I was thinking about that. You know, on social media as well, I went through one of the things that I wanted to do on this trip that I took. I knew I was going to have some downtime. And I have removed myself from, I think, about 20 different groups. How do we get on so many different pages and groups and stuff? I was like, I looked at some of them and I think some of them were like last updated in 2016. I'm like, why am I here? What are we doing? You know?
Yeah.
So I went through a lot of my emails. I cleaned up a lot of my mailboxes, my digital mailboxes, removed myself from over 20 different groups that I wasn't even participating in or weren't even functioning groups anymore. I've been cleaning up some friend lists and just being like, okay, I don't know this person. Why, you know, why are they on my friends list? You know,
right.
Probably because they knew 50 other disciples that I knew or whatever. And I was just like, fine, you could be my friend, you know, but
yeah. So, you know, you've got like 1,000 friends on Facebook and you've maybe met a quarter of them.
It's ridiculous.
Welcome to the kingdom.
Yeah. Welcome to the kingdom for sure. But I think it's a good idea to have changes, yes, right? It's a good idea to clean up a little bit
can't believe I just agreed to that. Let
go of some of those things that, I'm not sure. I know my boyfriend talks about it, but EJ, you know this person. There's a person out there that helps with mindfully letting go of things. A Japanese woman, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, Marie Kondo and her...
okay, there you go. Yeah, I'm like, I don't know who it is. Because I don't have that problem. I joyfully let go of a ton of stuff normally. But what's her name again? Kondo? Oh, there we go. Miss EJ's even got the book. Yeah.
Marie Kondo, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, The Japanese Art of Decluttering and Organizing.
There we go. But I think sometimes...
That feels that much of a book.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sorry. I saw that. I'm like...
yeah.
So there's that much reading to the idea of looking around going, I can put that in the garbage.
Okay, yeah. So here's the thing. It's not like
we don't have that mindset, T.
Right. I think it's more she breaks down the steps of why people have a hard time letting go and then also goes into how you can get that. Like, she has a theory where, like, if paper comes into your house, you have three spots to put it. Keep it forever, keep it temporarily, and get rid of it. That's it. If it's a, you know, obituary for a family member, that's probably a keep forever. But if it's a coupon that comes in from a grocery store, that's going to keep it temporarily.
That doesn't make it out of the post office in my hands.
True. Exactly. Yeah. Like, for me, it goes in the trash unless it's like something I know I'm going to use like today.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she goes through it and she really walks through, and she does have a series on Netflix. I don't think it was renewed, but it was just a short one where she would go into somebody's home and walk them through and help them through that. Because oftentimes, like, there was one couple that had lived in this like 5-bedroom house. Their kids were all gone. They were empty nesters, yet their house was just so cluttered. They were able to clean. And, you know, her theory is like, everything has a home and every home has a purpose. Like, it's not, you know, when you come home, take 5 minutes to put your purse away, your books away, your backpack. Don't just leave it sitting in a pile somewhere else to deal with later.
And no, it sounds really like great advice. It sounds like it's actually a good book. It just kind of cracks me up. Like,
right.
That's a lot of pages there.
And she does have the theory about, if it doesn't bring you joy, not to keep it, which is another important thing. She will talk, like, your first place you really want to focus on is your, like, clothes and clothing, because it's usually the easiest to get rid of. And she literally is like, take every piece of clothing, underwear, bras, socks, shirts, pants, every single thing, and put it on your bed. Pile up your bed. Every item you take and you look at it, does it bring you joy? Does it fit? Do you feel comfortable in it? And if any of those are no, you get rid of it just automatically. There's people that go from like 2 full closets down to like 1/2 of 1 because they realize half the clothes they're keeping is, well, I might put some weight back on, so I want to keep these jeans. Or when I lose my weight, I'm going to keep these pants so I have some to wear. Because I've done it all my life, you know, oh, as I lose some weight, or oh, as I gain some weight, I'm going to want. No, my season right now is, this is the weight I'm at, so these are the clothes that I need to keep that are comfortable. And I'm noticing in the last couple weeks, I'm wearing the same like 20 shirts and the same couple of pair of pants. I'm like, so why do I have all the stuff in my closet? Some of it is sentimental, and some of them are like, you know, concert t-shirts and other things that I'll keep because that's a sentimental reason. But she just does that. I mean, people, I did it once, and I took like garbage bags out of my room and that's me. And I don't have that many clothes. So, yeah.
You know what? I think that might be a good episode.
Yeah.
Masks and decluttering.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it.
Especially as we're getting ready to go through changes, each of us for different reasons. So
yeah, and Lori knows I go through it a lot, and I love to organize, and it's fun. And there's another one. It's not a Marie Kondo theory, but I heard it not long ago, and I think I even made a mention of it on the podcast at some point. But it was, or maybe I didn't. But if you can replace an item for less than $20 in less than 20 minutes, you don't need to keep it.
I like that.
I was thinking about it, and I'm like, well, I want to keep that cup. Well, why? It's just a cup. Right. Well, it's got this character on. Okay, so I keep that one. But the 5 other ones in the cupboard that are mine, do I really need to keep them? Does it bring me joy? No. Can I replace it tomorrow for less than $20? Yeah, because I bought it for $1 at the dollar store. They'll have others. You know, yeah. So things like that, because it's so easy for us to bring stuff into our house.
Yes.
And we're like, oh, we have to keep it. But then we realize. Yeah,
or others bring it into our house and, oh, yes, I forgot, and never come back and get it. It's called having adult children.
Right. Butters.
And oh my goodness. Yes. Okay. And I think so I want to bring us back to how this affects our relationships.
Right.
Because we don't. Okay. I'm going to say this. We can't just replace in 20 minutes our friends for less than $20, right? They are much more valuable than that. So how do we, what are some things that we can do healthily to make these things happen? Personally, I want to say the toughest thing for me, and I prayed about it. I prayed about it the whole week before I came home. I prayed about it all on the plane. And when I got home, as soon as EJ and I had some quiet time on the road going home, I said, we need to talk. And I just had the hard conversation. I had that. I opened up that can of worms, and I did warn her. I said, I have some tough things that I think are going to be, you know, mind blowing, but I think we need to talk about them. So I think the first thing we can do is be courageous mm-hmm. and have the conversations. Yep. Even if we know it's, you know, not going to be easy, and, you know, because I was worried. I love AJ. Mm-hmm. I value her. I treasure the relationship that I have with her. Yet I know God is calling me in some new directions. Mm-hmm. And some of them will not have her directly in them, like being my roommate or right. being my caregiver or, you know, that. That doesn't mean the French. So some of the dynamics mm-hmm. of the relationship are going to change, but the value and the treasure of the relationship isn't changing. So I knew it was going to be some tough conversation. And I think what's that, you know, just rip the Band-Aid off, stop doing mm-hmm. the slow thing and don't wait for the perfect time. It's like waiting for the perfect time to have a child. That's right. ridiculous. It's never going to happen. The perfect time to buy a house, the right. perfect time to do anything. It's never going to happen. Mm-hmm. So I think sometimes, especially with things like this, we do have to rip the Band-Aid off. We do have to dive in and just courageously have those conversations. Is there any psychological advice on that, T? Like, how does that work? Is it better to just rip the Band-Aid off and go for it?
I think it depends on the individuals. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the things I've been thinking about as we've been talking is it's about perspectives. It's mm-hmm. about understanding each other and where we're at. And when you're dealing with someone who knows you and you know them, the conversation can move along at a natural pace, and it may be difficult, but you know who are the ones in your life are the stick to it. It's like, okay, yeah, that's a tough conversation, but let's get through to the other side. Or you know that this particular friend needs doses. Like, I'm going to give them a little bit now. We're going to kind of come over mm-hmm. here and think about it. And I'm going to come back together. I mean, depending on where the relationship is at, where the friendship is how you proceed. Mm-hmm. And so with you and EJ, it's not the first time you guys have had a tough conversation.
Right.
No, so that's true. That's aspects that inform how this one will go. And what I've heard happen in it is that this mutual respect and love for each other, wanting the best for each other, allows for the conversation to happen with, from what I'm seeing, far less hurt feelings, far less mm-hmm. taking it personal. There wasn't right. anything like Lori's decisions weren't about, you know, we're definitely not because EJ had done anything. Right. And so you can have that conversation and EJ can take that role of like, well, I'm going to be your cheerleader right. and I'm going to cheer this on. You've worked for this. You've earned this. Mm-hmm. Do I necessarily like all the changes it's going to impact me with? Probably not, but it's not the first time. And God's got my back and I can do this. Yes. So, and then Lori can now cheer EJ on with her ideas and thoughts. Right. And so there's aspects of the relationship that will change. There's, you know, the roles that EJ mm-hmm. is not going to be caretaker. EJ is, you know, yes, you guys are roommates, but Lori, that was your place first, right? So your personality is all over your place. And I know that because I've been there. I've threatened you. Anyway, so this is an opportunity for both of you. And because you've chosen to have that perspective, it is easing the way. It is making it easier. And it's who you guys aren't changing. It's just how you are in the
Right.
relationship.
I love that.
So.
Man, and I feel like, with us, I think the 6 weeks we were apart in some way, shape, or form, we communicated daily almost, but I feel like that gave us both time to be apart and realize that
Yes,
and still have a relationship.
exactly.
Doesn't have to be, roommate.
It's a good
And
point.
I the more I was by myself, the more I'm like, I need my own space. Like, so I think had Lori not brought it up, I would have probably brought it up in the next month or
Well,
so.
how
I'd
about
have been
that?
like, I need to start like looking to find my own place. And, right now, I don't know what that's going to look like. Granted, we are coming to summer, so I could be doing some traveling this summer, and then maybe save some more money and go somewhere else. I don't know. So we'll see. And, like I said earlier, there's a possibility I may move in with a neighbor for a few months to be that kind of a live-in caregiver slash just somebody to be in the house, more time throughout the day than just an hour here and there. And I think another important thing is just flat out communication.
Yes.
Not having hard conversations, which is another one, but communicating. And because we, it was a probably because Lori found it was cheaper to fly into Portland than where we currently live. So I have a friend that lives down there, so or near there. So I had been staying with them for a couple of days. We picked up Lori. It was kind of late in the evening. So then when we got back, we just slept. And then first thing in the morning, we left. And pretty much right as soon as we got on the road, we started talking. And it's about a 5-ish hour drive. And we were talking the whole time. Yeah, I'm not wasn't thrilled that was being dropped on me the minute she like we're alone. But I was like, and at the time I was thinking, man, if he hadn't have said that, I probably would have said that in about a month. So we were both kind of on that same wavelength. And like I said earlier,
Nice.
I also knew moving in here that this wasn't going to be a permanent living situation. And she shared that, she talked with the people that helped her buy this place when they saw a need that she needed help, that, and she had already talked with them and they're like, well, if you choose to move, we will just sell the place. So there was going to be no opportunity for me to stay here. And that was because they purchased it for her, not for anybody else. But I have been benefiting from her having this place and having the extra room. So I always knew that this was not, I pretty much was always going to have to find a place. And so I had already been looking for apartments, seeing what was around. And then also thinking, I've never owned my own home. So I know there's a lot of help first-time home buyers can get. So I'm also looking and kind of pursuing that to see if like if that might be an option. And then where would I want to buy? Because I don't know if I would want to buy here on the east side of the state. I might want to go back to the west side or something. So yeah, I feel like conversation and communication is like the most important because if you're not having the hard conversations, you're just having a surface relationship, and those come and go.
Exactly.
Amen. And
Exactly.
if you want an honest, lasting relationship, you have to have the harder conversations and be okay with hurting somebody's feelings. Because normally, if it's a solid relationship, the hurt feelings don't last long because the other person is going to realize. And she specifically made it clear, I want you to know this has nothing to do with you being a roommate. If there was a person I would want to live with long term, it would be you. Like she flat out told me that. So I knew that it wasn't because I, didn't do this in the bathroom. I didn't put my dishes in the sink or, whatever. it's her decision. It's her choice. It just happens to be impacting me.
Yes. Wow, EJ, look at you.
I know. Isn't she awesome?
So proud of you.
And I'm really proud. And this is coming from someone who about 2 years ago was bawling my eyes out because I didn't want to move after living in a place for 4 years. I didn't want to move in with Lou. So yeah, things have changed.
I mean, seriously, what all the things that you've said, like through this little bit and a little bit ago, has brought tears to my eyes because aww, it is such a great sign of maturity and speaks to who you are. And I'm just very proud of you.
Aww, just very proud of you. Thank you both. I don't know. I feel like I'm on a roll today, I guess.
But well, we love it. And I'm so glad that we had this conversation. Even publicly, you know, I love that we get to share our lives with people and hope that it helps others see what good, healthy relationships can look like.
Right.
So thanks, ladies.
Yeah. Well, and on that note, I just wanted to share, and I think I did mention it in the previous episode, but if I didn't, we have a website now. Our website is live. It's behindthemaskpc.com. So it's the same as our social media handles, but it's just .com. Still a work in progress, still adding some stuff. I'm going to try and get the blog set up in the next few weeks. So as an episode goes live, one of us can maybe type up a little bit or give you some notes on what we talked about. There's information. You can actually listen to the podcast directly from the website now. So no matter where you are, if you can't get a hold of your podcast app, you can at least just pull it up on your phone and listen to it from the website. Also there's a contact form that'll go directly to one of our emails, as well as contacts for all of us and our links and everything. So definitely check it out and see what you guys think. And again, just a friendly reminder that anything discussed in this podcast is not to be used as a diagnosis or replacement for conversations with your own doctors, therapists, psychologists, or other medical professionals. You can find us on YouTube and most major podcast platforms. If you're not a subscriber, we'd love for you to be one. So don't forget to like and click the subscribe button to keep up with our future episodes. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Threads as Behind the Mask PC. And you can also email us at behindthemaskpc@gmail.com for any future episode ideas. To find us online, you can find us in the description box for our links. And on behalf of the ladies and myself, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye.